Good afternoon to all KDK listeners. Today, in my suit, I've got Bob Carrillo, and he is an amazing guy who's taken upon himself to be, you know, one of the finest boxing trainers around, and to the best of my knowledge, the only person certified to teach amateur boxing and be in the corner of young aspiring or any age boxers in the Roaring Fork Valley. So a pleasant welcome, Bobby. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Thank you.
All right. Now, let me ask you, you've been boxing. You've been around the boxing game, the sweet science, for a long time.
Long time. I have to tell you, if I told you, you'd know my age.
I won't ask your age if you don't ask mine. I have a funny feeling we've seen the better portion of at least half of our lives at this stage.
You better believe that.
Yeah. Now, where did you, just a quick bio, where did you grow up and where were you born and raised?
I was born and raised in Denver in a place called Westwood. It's a little poverty-stricken ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was. I don't know about raised, because I lived on the streets since I was quite young.
Okay. And while you were there, you were probably exposed to, you know, a bunch of things like street fights and stuff of that sort.
Absolutely. There's a lot of violence back in those days. There still is these days in the inner cities.
Right. Some of that violence is a little bit is more related to, you know, gun violence now, whereas when we were really young, it was much more physical. You had to be able to use your hands, your feet, and so as a result, the idea and concept of courage and stepping forward and engaging in a, you know, seriously dangerous situation, because there aren't a whole lot of rules in the street other than survive. And, you know, potentially, if you have to, you know, give somebody the beat down, because it, out of necessity.
Out of survival, exactly. Couldn't have said it better. Look at you.
Right. Well, we both had to go through that kind of stuff. And so we understand. And, you know, comparing that to the danger of today, there's a big difference, I think you would agree, between being someone being dangerous, you know, like a 9-year-old with a machine gun would be dangerous, and somebody being tough.
Yeah, exactly.
So in other words, you know what it means to be tough, and there's a big difference between some, you know, somebody that we would call like a punk behind a gun, who is now, they're very dangerous, but that doesn't make them tough.
No, but we might not want to call him a punk when he's got that gun.
No. Yeah. We're smart enough to realize we've already survived. We've probably faced punks with guns before. And we know that we keep our mouths shut, because we know that we're generally not running around packing heat every 2 seconds, you know, every second of our lives. And so we feel, quote, comfortable, unquote, as being, you know, men.
Well, up here in Aspen, I'm quite comfortable.
Well, yeah, this is a world of difference between, you know, what you're describing and, you know, and in our the youth of our lives, totally different. You know, you have gangs run around with knives and bats and you know, lock chains and you know, who knows what else to, you know.
You know the arsenal.
Yeah, of course. That's why I'm mentioning
it. You missed the blackjacks.
Yeah, I missed the blackjacks. I forgot that. And the and even belt buckles and
brass
stuff.
Brass knuckles. Missed those,
yep, too. Brass knuckles. Yep, all that stuff. So you went through that, and I think we got a phone call coming in here. KDK. 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 All right. I guess they dropped the line. All right. So, what specifically got you into your first, you know, boxing gym? Or was it something like, you know, what happened with me, too? It's like you go into your friend's basement, they got a pair, you know, a couple pair of gloves.
hey, let's see who can do what, when, and where. And you put them on, and you're all of a sudden you're boxing in somebody's basement or in their backyard or something like that. Like, and we're talking, you know, we're some kids were like 9, 10, 12 years old doing this.
Now, I was much younger than that. We, you know, you grow up with a bunch of drunken knuckleheads, and hey, go find my big brother. And they said, go find the gloves for Billy and Bobby to throw down in the dirt. And I'd fake like I couldn't find them. Billy goes, I know where they're at. And he would commence to give me the beat down in front, you know. So that's how we learned gloves around our hands and cousins and neighborhood people. But organized boxing, that's when I went to St. Joe. It was 1964. And they only had four sports, boxing, wrestling, and basketball. There was no baseball and football. So those were the four sports. And, boy, that was rough back in the 60s, you know. What did it for me was looking at the high school guys and the glory. And, you know, it's a rare person, I think, that learns to love the smell of sweat, leather, blood, and fear at a very young age.
I agree with that.
Yeah, we had to toughen this because, you know, we had our little anger going on and our survival skills and stand our ground skills that we learned in the hood. So there were 18 Catholic schools back then. So you had a lot of fights.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. My school's better than your school, and you're from this side of the tracks, and that's where you rich Catholics go. I'm from where the poor Catholics, I'm going to beat your butt into the ground.
Yeah, the rich Catholics didn't do so well.
And we got, of course, we're keeping our language nice and clean for everybody, but we know, I mean, come on, in boxing, you know, well, okay, well, I won't say that stuff, so, but anyway.
I like you, yeah.
I love you too, man. All right, so this goes into, you know, kind of like the next thing, you know, you're growing up in the mid-60s, and at that time, boxing was still a really huge sport. It was in the, you know, on the front page of every newspaper. When there was a major fight and there was a big, you always had the tail of the tape on the front page in the sports section, and you know they gave you the whole bill who was going to be fighting on the undercard and so forth, and you probably were following fighters by that time. You know, I certainly was, and you probably knew who, you know, at 64 you knew Cassius Clay became Muhammad Ali.
I had a Ring magazine subscription since I was 7 years old. I used to shine shoes at a barbershop, and that's all people talked about in the hood was boxing. So I think by the time I was 10 years old, I knew who Stanley Ketchel was, Jack Johnson, and, you know, I am now a boxing historian. But, you know, people think that I love boxing, and I really don't.
Interesting.
The politics of it, I do not like.
Okay, see, all right, I'm understanding where you're coming from. Yeah. The politics is horrible.
Horrible.
But the sport itself, and you know, when someone really wants to go into it, because there's obviously danger involved, there is a beautiful reason why it's called the sweet science. And that is something that is, in so many ways, unrelatable to people who have never been in a ring, who've never fought before, or even had any kind of fight or physical altercation with anybody in their lives. It's some people can't find that, don't find it relatable. They don't understand where we're coming from.
Well said, and I'll tell you, you're speaking about the mothers that have their daughters and their sons aspiring to get in the squared circle and show their stuff. But you're right, it's a sweet science. Everything is if you're taught the right way and you learn everything about the game, the footwork, the calisthenics, the road work, the punches, the slips, the ducks, the slides, all the things that put up that make a boxer, then all that's left is to find out if they got a heart or a chin, because the two go together.
Yes.
They're cousins.
Yeah.
So
and a lot
mothers
of people
don't really want to see their kids getting macked, bloody noses, and that sort of thing.
Right. And you know, one thing that's happened, you know, obviously we grew up at a time where you could look at a boxer's record and they might have, you know, 100, 150, 200 bouts in their careers.
Right.
Now I'm sure you've noticed that there are not too many fighters with those kinds of records anymore. 100, I mean, it's getting pretty rare where you have people getting more than 50 fights.
Well,
I mean, at least in this country.
The amateurs. They still got, you got Lomachenko, who has 397 fights.
Yeah. Well, that's...
You have Triple G, who had 400 fights. And a lot of those Europeans, yeah, they had a lot of fights. And we have a lot of Americans that are up there with two...
That's the amateurs, fights. But not in the pros. Amateurs.
Not the pros.
Yeah, and there's a difference. And so how would you describe the difference between the amateur game skill set and what you're trying to do compared to the pro professional game and skill set and what they're trying to do?
Well, you know, in the amateurs, you're able to spar some pros if you get to the right gym. And you'll find that they're more in for the knockout. They're more in for the hurt, as opposed to the amateurs are into touching you up as much as he could. They just changed the rules. So the CompuBox is out that they started in 84 because of Roy Jones Jr., getting robbed.
That
right?
was a debacle.
Yeah, debacle. And so they put that little titty-tatter things in, and it hurt us. It hurt the United States. We haven't had a gold medal in how long? Since Andre Ward. So
True.
Now they're going back to ring generalship. And I'll tell you something. It allows the young rookie novice boxer who's getting their ass handed to him. I can say ass, right?
Yes. we just did. But yeah, we can say it.
Handed to him in the first and second round, but they could turn it around, and, you know, as long as that referee doesn't stop the contest and turn that fight around. And that excites the crowd. So they're looking at ring generalship. You get to measure your courage and your skills. You know, I just had a fighter fight. Her very first fight at a big venue right before the Golden Gloves. There was like 57, 59 fights. Everybody trying to crowd a fight in before the Golden Gloves. She was raw and, you know, come from Aspen, white girl, and right in the dead, you know, right in the east side. Well, you folks are, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And way different.
She had no respect. I mean, there was a lot of fighters there, and they gave her no respect when they were gloving her up, and I would sit back there and watch it. You know, I was more concerned about how she was going to perform in the ring. She got in there, and they started batting her around. That girl was just using her head as a bag. Pop, pop, pop. And my friend was working the corner, because as the politics, they didn't let Bobby Carrillo work corners. Lets him train, lets him stand close to the corner, but they don't let him work the corner anymore. It's another story. But anyway, so he turns around to me after the second round. She got a standing eight count. And bloody Tally turns around and he says, "You want me to throw it?" And I looked at her eyes, and I trained this girl. So I know what she's made of. And the referee, she did everything I told her to do. When the referee tells you to come forward, I said, walk straight. Don't stumble if you want to continue. She did that, and I looked at him. I go, no, tell her the girl's coming wide. Go straight down the pipe. So all these coaches behind me, all the black guys that were 18, 19 behind me going, good call, coach, good call. And then we all shut up to see if she was going to do it. Third round comes out. Girl sent a straight right hand.
Right down the pipeline?
Yeah, right there. The girl's head was going for the cheap seats. Girl was smart. She makes a move to the right, and then she snickered her with the most beautiful jab you ever saw. She was in control of the fight. She won the fight. If they would have done it with the old CompuBox thing,
she would have been destroyed, yeah.
Yeah, they wouldn't have given her that fight, but the crowd loved it. She turns out hero. The girl that lost didn't have no problem with that because she took a pretty good beating in the third round.
Well, see, and what you're bringing up now is that a lot of people take a look at a boxing match, and unfortunately, they don't understand the importance of footwork and control of distance. And, you know, and so when I'm teaching, and I'm sure you do too, when you're teaching boxing, I'm teaching people, you know, I use boxing stuff as a part of the training. I teach how footwork is so important to anything that can be really called a sport. And so when someone's going out and they want to play football, they learn about leverage, or they need to make a cut, they have to put their feet in the right spot to do that. And the sport...
Pulling guards that have to get their feet work right.
Yeah, everything. Mm-hmm. And so when someone is learning boxing, they are constantly moving their feet almost as much as, say, a soccer player does. And so you got to have your feet in the right spot to be able to execute anything. Your hands are worthless. I bet you spend, when you're training people, you know, they might think you got a gosh darn foot fetish because you got to look at their feet all the time right. In the beginning.
Exactly.
Because they're always out of place.
We don't look at their hands. We look at their feet. You know, you did a good job.
Well, thank you.
That kid that you brought down.
Thank you.
I told my boys, I said, let's take it easy. This kid that's coming in here, so don't hit him. And they go, okay. Because, you know, usually somebody brings in some, you know, not too skilled a guy. He had good footwork. And he came in there crashing down on my boys. We had to hit him back.
I told him you were going to get hit.
Yeah, and he got hit.
And I knew that you were going to train your guys.
No, the idea was not to hit him until I saw him bringing that fire on him. And I said, oh, yeah. And they go, can we hit him back? And I go, oh, yeah.
Please do, yeah.
Tough kid. Is he still fighting?
No, his whole thing was that he wanted to not get bullied in college. I mean, you could tell he's a you know tall, thin, lanky guy. And somebody who's the old quintessential muscle head would probably feel, hey, you're just a wimp. I'm just going to push you up and knock you down and smack you around. So
now that would be a bad thing. That'd be a bad day for the big boy.
Yes, it would. And yeah, so I taught my kid how to fight back against exactly that type of street opponent or somebody in a bar. And I told him, you know, the other thing is that, you know, you need to go through life and basically avoid being, you know, intoxicated and blown away because, you know, alcohol will damage your skill set more than it damages a muscle head's strength.
Yeah,
And so, you know, I told him, you got to stay sharp all the time.
Well, you did a good job, Coach. Your kid came in. He brought the heat.
Thank you very much. I really feel like, you know, I'll tell you right now, if I've been thinking about this, I shouldn't even admit this at my age, but if I were to ever step into a ring, I would want you in my corner if it were allowed. And I'm not kidding you because I trust you and I see how you train people and I've seen how the results of what you bring. You train people intelligently to be thinking in there and to act with reservation when it's sparring. It's not a fight. You're sparring. You're supposed to learn something, not just knock somebody's block off.
No. You know, I appreciate that. I'm not as articulate or smart with you with those $10 words.
Come on.
What I do, the key to what I do, because there's other boxing, you know, we're training a boxing coach right now. Ariel is her name. You know her.
Okay.
Sharp little girl. She's got a business going on. And she's very sharp. She's very courageous. She wanted to learn how to really fight.
Mm-hmm.
And now this girl knows how to really fight. Also, she's going to learn how to coach because, as you know, you know, you have to coach the fundamentals. Now, the thing that I bring in that's different than other coaches is I'm an ex-thug hood rat, ex-con. I bring a special flavor in there, which they don't have had. They don't need those experiences. I'll give it to them.
Right.
You follow me?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So
yes,
when
I
we
do.
When we come to battle, we're going to come with our basic fundamentals. We're going to come with all the razz and matass. But when it comes down to digging in that heart, that's
yes.
where my people are good.
That and see, that's something that if the person didn't grow up in a situation where they had to find their heart, then that's where, you know, a coach such as you instills it in them as a part of their skill set. Even if they don't understand they're getting that heart, they end up getting it. It's there because you're taught you've got to dig in, you've got to persevere, you have to figure out, anticipate, see what's going on, see where their feet are, where can you put your feet so you can execute what you need to do. And you think about how to win, period.
Right.
It's not about, gee, how many shots can I take to the head, how many body shots, I can take 5 shots to my liver. No, that's dumb. You go out there, and the idea is to get a W one way or another. If a knockout comes, it comes. If it doesn't, well, then you go to the judges, and you go to points.
And we're not going to judges.
Yeah, no, you don't want to, but if you have to, then, well, then you do.
Right.
But the knockouts will come if there's an opportunity and you're doing everything correctly.
That's right. That's exactly well said. And I'll tell you, there's a lot to get past is the fear factor, the nerve factor, those kind of things. So you got to come in pretty conditioned.
All right. And so when you address that fear factor, because some people are like, oh, my God, I'm getting in a ring. I've never had a fight in my life, never had an altercation. Nobody's even pushed me or, you know, bullied me around or anything. And then all of a sudden they've got, you know, mouthpiece on, headgear.
You just describe what I do. These people don't have, I've never even been in an argument. And I got leather on and a mouthpiece in my mouth and headgear, and I'm going to go in there with somebody with bad intentions.
Yeah. How do you address that?
Individually. It just depends on who the person is. What I let them know is trust in your conditioning, trust in your skills. They're just as man or female just as much as you are. Once you touch those gloves, we're on.
Yep.
You're going to get hit in the face. You may swallow a little blood. You may get a wind knocked out of you. So what? You're more man or more girl than she is. And that's how we do that. We, in other words, right hands, left hooks, jabs, uppercuts, slip, slide, ducks, body work, everything is invited to the party. Nerves and fear is not invited.
Yep.
After the after the first couple of punches, we're on. That fear is
gone. Absolutely. It better be
gone.
And
then it comes to competition. And these kids are, I'll bring all my rich white folk up from here down to Denver, and nobody teases us, not since 2001. They used to tease us. They say, oh, man, he's bringing some rich prep school kid down here. Yeah.
Well, and see, that's a mistake. You don't know the heart of a person, you know, if they until they're battle tested and they have to go for it and they got to make a decision. Hey, I'm in. Or this is wrong for me. I'm out, and I'll retire to tiddlywinks and,
yeah.
And who
badminton.
Knows what?
Yeah. Tiddlywinks and badminton.
Yeah, right. I mean, what do you do? I mean, that's it. It's okay, you know. I mean, if it's not for you, then we don't want to. You know, you wouldn't want to train someone like that.
We know early.
Yeah,
I train a lot of people. They're never going to get in that ring ever. But I train people to fight. So I mean, if they want to do. Different, or then they can go put the Billy Blank tape in, and they don't need me.
Right.
But, and Ariel, same way. I mean, she's training people to fight. And now she's actually been in that. She was in the Golden Glove Finals this last time.
How did she do?
She nerves took her. Nerves. Mm. She could have beat that girl like a rented horse. Oops, Pita. but the nerves took her. She had all the skills and all the thing, but it was only her second fight, and it was in the biggest tournament in Colorado, so... She'll get her chance at that girl again, and the thing is, she wants that chance. She's got a lot of guts, and she's got a lot of courage, and now she's got the skills to match it.
Yeah, there's something to be said sometimes about that big, huge crowd. You've got thousands of people, and you don't have an entourage, and they do, and everybody knows the hometown, you know, bad boy or bad girl, and they're all, yeah, go kick her. You know, well, they can't use that language here, but, yeah. You know.
It's a desired taste. My son is an amazing athlete, amazing boxer, but he used to say, Dad, how do you, the crowd doesn't nerve you out. No, it doesn't. It didn't nerve me. It nerved me out when I was a little boy, but I lost that when I think it was like 13 or 14. I embraced the crowd. I embraced the home, if I'm on my hometown or if I'm on their turf. I like their turf. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
The challenge, the better it was.
Oh, yeah, because when you have that crowd going up against you, it feels like it's you against the world. And you're like, yeah, I'm going to take this punk out right in front of him, you know. Yeah. And, you know, I definitely get juiced up, adrenalinized or something. I don't know how to describe it, but
yeah, you go in prepared. You don't go in unprepared. If you're unprepared, yeah.
You're dead.
You got to be nervous a little bit. But going prepared, and someone's going to taste their brain juice.
If they have any juice in that brain. And we don't know always. All right, we got a minute left, and so super quick. What is your just tell people what your ring record is, your pro ring record is, and your and how to contact you.
I think I'm still online. I don't know about that, but I have 167 amateur fights. I have 7 titles. The one I'm most proud of is the 2002 Colorado Golden Gloves Masters Heavyweight title. Never been beyond the regionals. Always lost to the same guy. I got to fight in the nationals in the masters division twice. I lost to Frederick Hatch III. Bad dude. Yeah. I lost at the Ringside International tournaments to Andrew Johnston out of Ontario, Canada.
Interesting. So you never forget the people you lose to.
Never. These guys are rough mugs. But I gave it what I had.
All right. Thank you, Bobby, and we're going into Pulse of the Planet right now.